All right, Facebook Messenger marketing. That's what we're talking about on today's Business Marketing Podcast. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Bruce Irving. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast. My guest today is Amanda Robinson. Yes, she was just on the podcast a few episodes ago. We talked all about Facebook ads. So if you want to go check out some Facebook ads tutorials, go check out that episode about three episodes ago. And she's back. We're talking about Facebook Messenger marketing today. And we're going to share a lot of information about how to use Messenger marketing, the pros, the cons, the goods, the bads. And she's going to give you a few tips and some ideas on how you can use Facebook Messenger marketing in your business. If you're not familiar with what Facebook Messenger marketing is, it's a way for you to communicate with your customers through Facebook Messenger. I'm going to give you the tools, the tips, the strategies on how you can do it in a proper way. And by proper, I mean Facebook legal, so you don't get in trouble, because there are a lot of people out there who are using Facebook Messenger marketing in ways that probably you shouldn't emulate. Amanda's going to show you how to do it right in today's episode. I'm excited for this. Before we get into today's episode, a couple things. We are doing a next Instagram challenge. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, when it comes out in November of 2020, we are doing getting ready to do our next 30-day Instagram challenge. Going to help you grow your Instagram account, build your engagement, build your reach, find local followers to help you engage with on your Instagram platform. We just got done our first ever 20-day Instagram challenge. We bumped it up to 30 because I don't think 20 was quite enough. And we're seeing people get 300-400 times engagement on their Instagram accounts. They're growing their followers with local people. They're getting jobs. They're getting opportunities, all because of the techniques we're teaching you inside of the 30-day Instagram challenge. Now, it's not, there's no secret. There's a lot of strategies and tips involved, but it is work. There's not like you're going to sign up for this 30-day Instagram challenge and do two things and automatically your Instagram account explodes. We're not talking about fake engagement or bots. This is manual work. But there are things that you can do to build your reach and find local people who are in your market interested in what you do. And we teach you that. And by we, I mean me, because I'm doing it with you side by side inside the 30-day Instagram challenge. If that sounds like something you want to do, thebruceirving.com/Instagram challenge to get signed up for our next one, which starts in about 10 days from today. Also, we've had people reach out to me. We are doing a mastermind group for this local business or business marketing podcast right here that you're listening to, thebruceirving.com/mastermind. If we've talked or you want to get involved with the mastermind group, figure out what's working today. You could even get part of our Instagram challenges by being part of the mastermind group, thebruceirving.com/mastermind to get inside that group today. All right, enough from me. Let's get into today's podcast episode with Amanda Robinson. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Amanda Robinson, the digital gal, is joining me again. She just joined me a couple episodes ago. So if you just listened to that episode we did all about Facebook ads, you're going to really enjoy this one. We're going to get into bots. We're going to get into more ads, more Instagram ads, and all that good stuff that Amanda's an expert on. So Amanda, first of all, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. We had so much fun last time that I'm really looking forward to this round two.
Yeah, I got a lot of great feedback from people who listened to that podcast as well. Like, you really did a great job of explaining, because a lot of people who listen to this podcast are business owners, so they're marketing savvy, but like Facebook ads can be overwhelming sometimes, and you did a good job of like simplifying it for people to understand.
Thank you. That's my superpower, breaking it down, making it a little bit easier to digest for all the complex things that keep business owners away from actually doing their own ads.
Which is like, even for me and you, like if you open the Facebook Ads Manager and you just look at it, even for us who we do a lot of ads, just by the visual alone, you're like, forget it. I'm out of here. This is way too complicated.
Well, and how frequently they change it too. So right. Once you kind of get a handle on it when you're first starting out and then you log in the next day and everything has moved, then it can be frustrating. So I definitely feel the small business owner pain.
Yes. It's like when I used to operate restaurants, it's like going into the restaurant, like you had a closing manager, right? And every time you maybe had a different closing manager who did it a different way, and you're used to all your stuff being in one spot, and you go into work and it's all completely in a different spot. You're like, what just happened here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's it. And Facebook doesn't partner with you very well on the transition. It's just, you know, you just got to run with it.
So I want to talk a little bit about Messenger bots. That was like, I feel like two years ago, Messenger bots were all the rage, right? Everybody was talking about it. If you are a restaurant owner and you have a Facebook page that you go on personally, you probably, every second ad you see is somebody who has a Facebook bot platform that they want to sell you on. But is it still something that business owners should look at, Messenger bots and ads through Messenger?
Let me put it this way. If you are not paying attention to this right now, you are about to get left behind. It might not be the perfect platform right this second, but it's an absolutely emerging field. It's not going anywhere. It's already had the big boom of the excitement of all the marketers jumping on board, everyone learning how to use them, trying out all the bells and whistles. And then it had a little bit of a fizzle where the marketing industry didn't really know what to do with it. It's a little bit more difficult for business owners to grab a hold of right this second. So a lot of people just kind of cooled their heels on it. And now it's having a big resurgence now that we've obviously, our global situation has changed. Communicating with customers and people in an online environment has become so much more important. But what you don't really see on the outward facing side is that there's so much rewiring going on in the background between all the new tools Facebook and Instagram are developing, all the new tools that the messenger marketing chatbot industry is developing, how that's all playing into online shopping. And there is this big volcanic eruption of tools coming at us through messenger marketing chatbots. And it's easy to get in on the ground floor now. So if you're not working at learning it now, you are about to get left behind.
Is it too complicated for a business owner to figure out themselves? Like, should they have somebody do it for them? Or is it something that they could figure out on their own?
To be super transparent, learning how to build a bot is probably the easiest part of all of it. It really is. It's drag and drop. If you can play with Lego and create something fun and neat to look at with Lego blocks, just clicking different blocks together and however your imagination goes, you can build a chatbot. It's all drag and drop. It's very, very, very simple. But where the issues come in is the rules. So the actual physical building of the bot, easy, dive in, just go for it.
Right.
It's the rules that kind of surround it that have become quite a barrier for people adopting this and getting involved.
So do you, like, I used to use a tool, or I still use a tool called ManyChat. Is that the one you use, or do you use a different one?
Yes, I'm actually drinking out of a ManyChat mug right now.
Yes, I agree. For me, when I was first starting to get into the whole bot thing and chatbots, it was the easiest one. It really was. Like, if you use MailChimp for an email provider, you could figure out ManyChat very much the same way.
And that's my theory behind it, is that there are lots of other very reputable chatbot building platforms like Chatfuel, for example. I think there's MobileMonkey. There are a few others.
Yep.
But the reason that I kind of sided with ManyChat and went that direction is that I found that from my perspective, it's easy for me to build and get geeky with things and learn, like, again, play with all the bells and whistles. But at the end of the day, I need to be able to pass this off to a client, aka a small business owner, who can actually operate it themselves without having to, you know, download a whole user manual and figure it out.
Yeah, because no one's going to do that.
No.
I mean, they may want to or say they're going to, but when it actually comes down to doing it, they won't do it.
No, they won't do it. And so if you're going to invest any time, and, you know, time is money in this industry.
Right.
So if you're investing that that time into it, then you need to be able to make sure that long term it's producing returns for you, and that you know how it operates and know how to use it, so that you can also leverage future opportunities that come up without having to rely on paying somebody to do it for you.
So what are some basic ones? Like, if I'm a small business owner or a local business owner, what are some basic ways that I could use a chatbot to either grow my business or communicate with existing customers?
So I'd say the most absolute basic of ways is just providing information via, you know, FAQ, frequently asked questions. So if someone goes to message your Facebook page and soon Instagram, this is soon coming to Instagram. when somebody goes to message your page, wouldn't it be great if you could just have an automated flow that would converse with this person and help get them, help be like an air traffic controller, help just navigate them to the right spot so that you can help answer their question either as a real human once they get to that conclusion, or just as a business. It helps make people feel heard right on the spot, that they're getting the information that they're looking for. Now, I do want to say, I don't want to confuse this with, this is not replacing humans. This is not replacing the need for a human. This is just helping get people the information that they need faster in a more streamlined, fun, engaging process, and helping you as a business owner be able to do more with less time.
Right. It's like, well, I always tell people when they create content too, especially like business owners, like, you probably get asked the same 10 to 20 to 30 questions consistently. Like, every week there's customers calling, asking you the same 10 questions. If someone messages your page on Facebook, they probably have either had a problem with an order, they have a question about a menu or what you have to offer, or maybe they're looking for your address or phone number. Like, those are easy questions that people can, like, you could set up a bot for to give that response without you having to sit there and answer it every single time. And if they want to take it a step further, that's when you kind of get a little bit more elaborate with it. Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
Yes, and that's at the basic level. And there's so much more that you can do with Messenger Marketing chatbots. For example, I use them as the backbone of my registration systems. So if you register for any of my programs, you're going through my bot to register. I'm collecting your mailing address, your email address. And then from within that bot, it's pushing that information into the rest of my systems. So it's putting your email in my MailChimp system. It's logging you in my CRM system. It's tagging you based on how you interacted and came into my world. It's basically like a giant CRM system that you can customize yourself and put the information anywhere you need. So you don't have to touch the data twice. You just collect the information and automate everything in the back end, and it plugs and plays so nicely with so many other apps and tools.
Now, what if someone's not using Facebook? I know that it's very popular, and like there's probably not a whole lot of people who aren't using Facebook, but what if they're not using Facebook? Is this, if their customer base isn't Facebook centric, should they even bother with this, or is everybody Facebook centric?
Well, I mean, to some degree, everyone is, you know, the whole 6 degrees of separation. I think we're all 1 degree of separation from Facebook.
But right.
They can do so much more. So there's so ManyChat, for example, layered on SMS and email last year. So for the last year, you've also been able to converse with people via Messenger in Facebook. You've been able to converse with people via email and as well as SMS. So if you're collecting that information from your customers at the time when they engage with the bot, and you're getting their permission to message them and you're following the rules, then you can leverage all of these other channels. So you don't, it doesn't have to ride all on Facebook. You can also create individual landing pages with ManyChat that can then point people into the system. You can use it in so many, like this, the sky really is the limit on the different ways that you can use this. But when I say, when I keep encouraging business owners to get in now, we look at it, you know, like you said, 2 years ago, chatbots were all the rage. They were pretty much married to Facebook Messenger.
Right.
And that's where you had to play. Now that Sandbox has been opened up with layering on the ability to send text messages and the trigger emails to people. So that's opened up a whole new ballgame. It's now, it's available on WhatsApp. Now it's coming to Instagram. Eventually, the API has just opened up the Messenger API for Instagram. So we're going to be seeing that blending. And where I keep encouraging people is that we look at Instagram and Facebook. They've been putting so much work in over the past several years in pushing things in the direction of shopping. So they want shopping taking place on their platform. Messenger has been evolving so that shopping can take place on the platform. So with direct checkout right within Messenger, with the different tools that play into it. And we even look at, you know, Facebook Live and live shopping. All of these things are funneling into conversations with customers that are happening on these Messenger platforms with the Facebook suite of apps. So the evolution is happening right now. It's easier to learn how to start playing with chatbots right now. You know, walk before you run, play with it, do the basics, get comfortable with it, then start to really learn the intricacies of all of the rules surrounding it, such as, you know, the 24-hour rule. So you can message somebody within 24 hours of them engaging with your bot. Outside of that, you can't. They have to engage with you again, or you have to pay for it through text messages or email sends. So there's lots of ways you can get very creative with your marketing, but start now while it's still fairly new and easy to learn.
Yeah, I mean, people were pushing. So we do the podcast, a Smart Pizza Marketing podcast. It was more restaurant-centric. And I'd say a year or two ago, people were really pushing the whole order through Facebook Messenger for people to complete their order with the restaurant, which I feel at the time people weren't ready for, but I think they're more open to it now than they were two years ago.
Well, and you also see a lot of restaurants right now, you know, with being safe and keeping everything contactless, having menus available via QR code. You can program a QR code built right within the Messenger bot there as a growth tool. So you can use a QR code scanning right into your bot, have that conversation with the client. They can order their pizza right there. Scan the code, order their pizza right within the bot, and there you go.
Yeah.
So it is completely doable. You can build this yourself. You don't need a crazy expensive system that's going to be billing you lots of maintenance fees monthly.
Yeah.
So it's something you can investigate. Or if you want a more sophisticated system, then yes, you could pay an experienced bot builder to take care of that for you. Because the way, you know, as much as I'm encouraging you, get in now, start experimenting now, I still want to let you know that this is still a new technology overall. There's still lots of moving pieces. It's trying to plug and play with so many different systems, and glitches happen. And so often we have moments where the bots just kind of, they have a bad day. They have a bad day and they're not working as anticipated. So don't put all your eggs in one basket and run entirely with it. But if you're not learning how to do it now, learning those rules, learning all the little challenges and hiccups that come along with it, then by the time that all of your competitors have mastered this and are dancing circles around you, you're going to be left behind.
Yeah, I mean, listen, a great example of someone like really embracing technology is Domino's Pizza. Like, they don't have a great pizza. Like, I don't know where you, I'm not sure if Domino's is great where you are, but as someone who is very into pizza and knows a lot of pizza people, Domino's Pizza quality isn't great, but they have dominated the space with digital, using text, using QR codes, using Messenger, in allowing people to order right through that, like you just said, making it as easy as possible for them to just do it on their own, where you don't even have to talk to anybody. And they've dominated that way, even though they have a not a superior product. Like, everybody else's product is really better, but they've dominated through doing exactly what you just said, making it easy for people to consume and order.
So they're dominating via convenience, not necessarily via quality.
Right.
And that's fine. So now imagine if you are a pizza shop that has an absolute quality product, and now you just up the game on convenience, then it's a no-brainer.
Right. And I think of it too, like email, right? Like, you could someone who owns a business could easily set up a MailChimp account and set up an email and send an email. Now, is that email going to be good enough to get people to open it and or read it and come back for seconds? Probably not. They should probably hire someone that's good at marketing and email and follow-up to do that for you. So yes, like messengers, like, you could do it on your own. That's the very basics. But if you really want to make it work for your business like Domino's does, you're probably going to have to get somebody to help you really make sure it's working well.
But I'm glad that you brought up email for two reasons. One reason is that you still need all of these other marketing tools. You can't be relying entirely on one tool. So if you relied 100% on just email only for your business, I mean, some people could pull that off, but most people need a suite of, you know, using email, using Facebook ads, using Google ads, using other forms of marketing and other marketing tools. Whereas by layering in messenger marketing chatbots as one more of those tools in your tackle box to help you communicate with your customers and reduce friction, reduce those barriers, it's awesome. Now, the second part about, I'm glad why you brought up email, is that bots are not email. So they can't be treated like email. They can't just be used as a piece where you just broadcast out a sales message whenever you want. It's an opportunity for people to start a conversation with you and engage with you. And it's an opportunity to, reduce that friction on those touch points with customers to get them faster to the end goal of getting them what they need, getting them what they want. So they can't be treated the same way as you would build an email campaign and hope for the best. Right. So it's a whole different beast, but it's another tool in your entire suite of marketing touch points to be able to engage with people.
Now, so when you say we set up a campaign, we have a bot that's connected to our Facebook page. We have some sort of ad going to get people to interact with that bot. We are doing a couple things, hopefully, right? You're going to be collecting the email. You're going to be collecting the phone number. And then you will be collecting them as well as a subscriber to your bot. Are you able to message that person outside of that 24-hour period through Facebook Messenger? Because I remember 2 years ago when we were doing this, like, we didn't have to pay, and there wasn't that 24-hour period where you could send a blast, and open rates were phenomenal. They were like 95% open rates, and the responses that we would get from those bots was amazing. Is it still the case now, or how do you do that now?
I remember back in the day, we had the 24 plus one rule. So we had 24 hours to message them. But then we also had this one grace period where if you didn't, it's like, oh, but you could still do it one more time. And the rules were so loose that if you didn't follow them, nothing was really going to happen. Right. But yeah, the rules have completely changed. So when it comes to other ways to reach out to them, you can do it through ads. So once people enter into your bot, they've qualified as somebody who has messaged your page. That's a custom audience that you can then use in your Facebook ads to retarget. So anyone who has messaged, I forgot, for example, I have about 3,000 people who have messaged my bot within the past 365 days.
Wow.
I can add them to a custom audience of people on Facebook, and I can retarget them with ads for my other programs, for my upsells, for whatever else I have on the go. So that's one way of doing it through a paid channel. Another way of doing it is if you collected their email address and you got their permission, their opt-in when they first entered the bot, or if you collected their phone number and you got their opt-in permission when they entered the bot, then you can also send out a broadcast email to them at any time or a broadcast text message to them at any time. Now, emails and text messages do have costs that go behind them. So you are getting charged per email or per text message, but the costs are so itty bitty that unless you're working in in millions of volumes, then it's not going to be cost prohibitive at all.
I'd say so the people who listen to this podcast probably have under 5,000 emails if they're a local business, I'm sure.
Yeah, then it's very, very easy to do this. It's not very expensive at all. So, but it is a pay-to-play environment. If you elapse that 24 hour time frame, so within 24 hours of somebody messaging your bot, you can send them promotional messages. You can sell them an upsell. You can sell them product or serve them product related messages. Outside of that 24 hours, you can't initiate the message unless they message you. But when you can initiate that message is if you pay a little bit of dollars, either for Facebook ads to send a sponsored message that goes direct into their inbox, through Facebook ads that is using that audience of people who did that, so it'll circulate through their newsfeed and through other ad placements, through sending them an email that you are paying a little bit of money for, or a text message that you're paying a little bit of money for. So there are paid ways of doing it. They're not that expensive, but it's a pay-to-play environment to re-engage them again. And once they re-engage, it opens up that 24-hour window again.
If someone messages my page, right? Like, say I have an ad for something and somebody messages my page. I have 24 hours. So the 23rd hour, I could send them another message to get them to kind of re-engage. And does that create another 24-hour loop?
It sure does.
So as long as you can come up with some almost like follow-up sequences to get people to kind of always be re-engaged, you always have that 24-hour loop going.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to caution you again. These rules are there to prevent people from feeling like they're getting spammed. You don't want people to feel uncomfortable like they're getting spammed. Right. You don't want to turn people off of Messenger or off of engaging with your brand because now they're getting spammed with text messages, emails, and Messenger. So you need to be strategic about it. And it's very much a permission-based marketing. It's them leading the conversation and them you giving an opportunity. If they take it, then great. But don't keep hammering people with messages because the consequences of that, if people decide, even if somebody subscribed and they're like, yes, send me messages, cool. And you start sending messages and somebody gets tired of it, if you report Messenger, you can have your entire Messenger suspended. You can either get put in Facebook jail or Messenger jail where you're not allowed to message anybody for a period of time. And I've seen that happen where people have been kind of shut down for about a month. Wow. And then they get access back again. Or you can have your account shut down altogether. And that's very, very detrimental to the operation of the business. So that's why the nature of these rules, that's why I said at the beginning, it's very easy to build the bots and it's easy to be extremely creative with them. The challenge right now is making sure you're investing the time into learning the rules, the ins and outs. And if you get in on the bot industry now and learn all the base rules, then when they change a rule, it's like, oh, you're learning one more thing that just changed. Right. Rather than not paying attention to it and you waste a year. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there have been 20 different rule changes. Where are we at?
Right. I agree. Like, I think when I think of follow-up, you probably have like two or three follow-ups before you get to be like, all right, that's enough. Like maybe they purchase from you. That's the bot. They have 24 hours. Maybe within that 24 hours, you do a follow-up asking kind of how it went. And then that gives you another 24 hours where you maybe sell them something else. And then you should probably end it after that.
Well, and you can use it in other ways. It doesn't have to be just transactional for making a sale and following up or following up on marketing to try and get that sale. You can have fun with them. So for example, I do a Christmas holiday messenger bot. It's 12 days of Christmas. But because people are engaging with it, they're continually opening up that 24-hour window of opportunity. So I can send promotional messages in between. But what they're getting, they're having fun with it and they're getting something in return. So they are starting to look forward to it. So what happens is, you know, it'll be, and I have varying time zones that happen that I have to take into account for it. So somebody will wake up in a different time zone and be like, it's the next day. My next question is still locked. How come I can't answer my next question? They're excited for it. It's like, because the bot's timed. And then once it triggers the time, you can access it. So it's creating engagement and it's creating anticipation within an audience. So there's lots of ways that you can have fun with them.
Right. Now, I know for a fact that I've messaged a page in the past, not in the last 24-hour period, and they've sent me messages. How do they do that?
They're breaking the rules.
Okay.
They can do it. So pages, absolutely. I mean, many chat and other chatbot tools are doing the best that they can to help you as a user follow the rules. They're trying to put sort of like these little bumper rails in place to help you from going out, drawing outside the lines. Right. They want to help you with the rules. And Facebook is working with messenger marketing chatbots as well to try and keep everybody up to speed. But it is, this system has the capability of allowing you to send out a broadcast message whenever you want. You have to properly tag that message so you don't get, so you're not breaking Facebook's terms. And if you don't properly tag it, then you could get shut down. But that doesn't prevent people from just doing it anyway right now and taking their chances.
Yeah.
So there are lots of pages, and I still have them too, where, you know, hey, we're going live over in this Facebook group in the next hour. Come join us. I'm like, wait a second. I didn't sign up for this.
Right.
Now, there is this one little way around all of this that we haven't talked about, which just rolled out this past year, which is one-time notification. So a one-time notification is where you're asking permission for to send somebody information about a particular event that might be outside of that 24-hour rule, and somebody is explicitly giving you permission to say, yes, you can send me a message for one time when that, as it pertains to that particular event. So I've used one-time notifications for when I'm going live in one of my Facebook groups. I might put it out on Facebook with a link to the bot saying, hey, I'm going to go live next week. If you want to get notified, click on this link and my bot will let you know. So they click on the link. They have to accept the one-time notification, and then I'm allowed to message that person with my bot outside of that 24 hours, but only related to that exact event, and only one message to open up the 24-hour rule again.
So you could, even if I was a restaurant or a local business, I could have a VIP club and have people sign up specifically for offers for that VIP club and then tag them, and then I can send them outside of that 24-hour period, or no?
Almost. You can have them sign up to get notified of when you drop the next special.
Yep.
But it's only for that one event.
Got it.
And then you drop that one event, you can, and that, and if they engage with it, then it opens up the 24-hour window. And then you can, in the next message, you can say, hey, do you want to be notified of the next one? And they have to click into another one-time notification. So the one-time notifications are really married exactly to just the one event, not to multiple events.
Got it. Now, how long before, because I know Facebook owns Instagram, how long before it's integrated into Instagram, do you think?
Oh, I'm so excited you asked that. So it was just announced, I think, last couple weeks, or it was just announced recently. Sorry, time and space kind of disappeared.
We were just talking about that before podcast started. Like every day leads into another one. It feels like the same day over and over again.
Yeah. So just recently, Facebook made the announcement that they have opened up Instagram's Messenger API to a key number of developers to be able to go in and start accessing it. So what that means is, up until now, Instagram has had sort of the most tight lockdown rules as far as their API goes. So there's not much you could do with bots in there. They had lots of rules preventing any message automation happening. Yeah. And anytime you do see any of that happening, it's an app that's breaking the rules, and generally they get shut down fairly quickly.
Yeah, it does get quick. I know there was a couple that worked pretty well, but they don't last long.
No. But now, because Facebook has now opened up the way to merge the Messenger experience, Messenger and Instagram DMs are now accessible. So you can now, you can message cross platforms.
Right.
So an Instagram person could message a Facebook Messenger, a Facebook Messenger could Instagram and could message an Instagram DM. So because of that, all the terms had to be revamped. And when that happened, that opened up the way for the conversation of bringing bots onto Instagram's platform. Now, when we say it's opened up the Messenger API, it's just for testing right now. So the developers are allowed in the back door right now to go and like explore and go, ooh, what can we build here? How can we do this? How can we wire it all up?
Right.
It's not apples to apples. It doesn't function. Instagram doesn't function the same way as Facebook Messenger. Just because they're owned by the same company doesn't mean they were built from the ground up the same way. There's a lot of wiring and plumbing that has to take place and see how it's going to function. So the developers have been given access. They're in there having a heyday right now, figuring everything out. And it is a race to the finish line. So of the developers who have been given access, they need to crack that code fairly quickly. First one out to market with a stable product will probably get the most attention.
Yeah.
So we don't know how long it's going to be. I would anticipate we're not going to see this in any mainstream capacity for, I'd say, 6 months to a year, but that's just my, I'm not a developer, uneducated
right.
guess, but I just want to manage that expectation that just because there's been the big news, the flurry of news saying that bots are coming to Instagram, it doesn't mean bots are coming to Instagram today or next week
right.
or in 6 months.
Which opens up a huge area, right? Because we were just talking about that earlier in the podcast that, you know, is Facebook Messenger still a place? Because a lot of the younger generation of folks aren't necessarily on that platform. Instagram, they are. Even though You know, maybe Instagram's heyday is like we're at that top of the mountain where it's going to start to decline because the TikTok's kind of, you know, being the up and coming platform. I still think there's a lot of younger users that still use Instagram, whether that be for direct messaging or stories versus Facebook for sure.
Well, and things are changing so quickly. So Facebook and Instagram, as we know it today, might not look like this 3 or 4 years from now.
True.
You know, when we look at, and again, I keep kind of leaning back onto the shopping, you know, all of the posturing and things that we're seeing coming out from Facebook and Instagram related to shopping. And then you look at Facebook Marketplace. So Facebook Marketplace, you know, there are always these buy and sell groups and people selling things in their little groups. And Facebook decided, hey, we don't want our groups feed becoming just a flood of buy and sell items and becoming bogged down with that. We want groups to be a really prioritized place. So they're offloading all of that activity and they're giving it a house, a place to live. So putting it in Marketplace. And Marketplace is gaining steam. So you're not looking at Kijiji or Craigslist anymore in your local communities. You're now leaning on Marketplace.
Yeah.
There's more ad placements coming to Marketplace. And so that's one area that we're starting to see a morph and a change. And then when we have shopping coming to, we now have Facebook shops and Instagram shops. And now with all those transactions happening, so it's evolving. Facebook is evolving and they're trying to bite off a huge chunk of that shopping pie. And so people may not need to go to Etsy or go to Amazon or go to other places for accessing different products. So what I'm seeing here is that right now, Facebook and Instagram are a social media platform. They could merge and start keeping pace with different shopping platforms. It's not going to happen, like I said, not next year, probably not the year after that, but it's an evolution.
Right.
And when we have other platforms such as TikTok popping up, and attention spans are getting so much more difficult to hang on to, and attention span is our main currency right now, there are just other ways that brands have to evolve and stay relevant. So what I'm trying to say here overall is that, yes, if we're looking at Facebook and Instagram as we know it right now, you might not have the young crowd on there that you want in the exact way that you want, but it doesn't mean that the platforms aren't evolving and will not be extremely relevant in multiple different ways with the emerging technology that is coming through. Again, it all rolls back to this.
Yeah, I think for me and people that I know, I think Instagram ads convert better for them right now than some Facebook ads even. Like, even though Facebook, when you are in the ads manager, like Facebook really knows a lot about you, I feel like Instagram ads do a really good job of converting right now.
Yes. Well, it depends on your brand too. So I do a lot of testing with Facebook and Instagram ads. You can run both through Facebook's ads manager platform. So that's where you can build one ad, and that one particular ad can show on both Facebook and Instagram. You can also build one single ad in ads manager, and then you can tweak and tailor the Facebook and Instagram stories placements with different templates and animations and customizing the text. So it's not just like a cookie cutter look.
Right.
So there's a lot that you can do. And when you start testing Facebook and Instagram ads, when you're running one ad and then you run it and then you go back and you check the results, I can tell right away where your audiences are based on how those results are coming back through Facebook. So if I see that Facebook is delivering a higher number of ads to the Facebook platform and you're getting a lower cost per click, great. So we've got audience potential over here. If I see right away that, wow, okay, we're getting a flurry of activity coming from your Instagram ads, then now I might consider splitting out your budget and saying, let's just build ads through Ads Manager, but focus them entirely on Instagram and focus on capturing attention through stories, capturing attention through different carousel ads, different image posts. So there's lots of different ways that you can get very creative with your marketing. But relying on the data, not using your assumption. So don't go off your gut feel like, oh, I know my audience is on Instagram. So I'm going to only do Instagram ads. No, your audience can be in many places. So test it, try it out, and then keep trying new things, but keep checking the data to see where that activity is.
Yeah, I love that. I say that all the time. Like, don't just even assume, like, just because you do one thing or you think one thing doesn't mean everybody else does that one thing too. Like, we have a lot of people who are like, oh, my audience, I'm in a rural area. They don't use Instagram at all. And you're like, have you actually looked? Because yes, they do. You know,
exactly.
You may not think because you don't, doesn't mean they don't.
Well, I just had this conversation yesterday with a client where we were looking at their ad placements. I don't like using automatic placements and putting your ads everywhere because there are a couple places that your ads can kind of go wild and get tons of clicks, but those clicks are false clicks, or they're in an app and people are just trying to click through your ad so they can keep playing their game.
Right.
Yeah, so there are lots of placements that I'll kind of cut out, but one of the placements that I'm leaving in lately is Marketplace. Huh. And like we just talked about how Marketplace is starting to gain, it's kind of like creeping up on us here. I'm starting to see some activity happening and it's becoming a little more relevant. And the ads that are laid in with Marketplace are now starting to perform a little bit better. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm starting to pay attention to it. But the client would say, Marketplace, I don't know, let's take my ads out of there. But once I said, well, are you sure? We went in, did a screen share and looked at Marketplace and looked at where these ad placements are happening as they relate to different search terms. So look at this. When you have ads in the newsfeed, those are browse intent. People are just browsing. When you have ads in Marketplace, those are search intent. People are searching for an item. They're searching for keywords. And if your ad's coming up with that, then, you know, it's a whole other area.
Yeah, they're in that buying mentality, right? You're in there to buy stuff.
Well, and that's why I say Google Ads perform so well, because Google Ads, people are searching for, they're searching with purchase intent, they're searching with search intent, and you have a much higher amount of time on page, lower bounce rates, much more success with the quality of the traffic coming from those ads versus something like Facebook. So there's, just paying attention to how all of the ad placements are shifting and changing over time. It's fun. It's all in the data.
And you have to keep up with it too, because like you said earlier, it changes constantly. Like it feels like almost every week there's new changes coming to what you can do and what you can't do and what options you have available to you to use when you do run ads.
Well, and looking at lead ads, for example. So a lead ad is where you're collecting a phone number, an email address, and any other questions you want to ask people. It's basically a form right on Facebook. So without taking people off the Facebook experience, keeping them on the platform. The lead ads, they've just redesigned their entire lead center, and they've redesigned a whole bunch of tools that are now available in the lead center on how you can manage those leads. On, are they active leads? Are they converted leads? Are they assigned? There's so much, and this has just happened in the last few weeks. It's changed. So keeping up. So now lead ads are becoming a little more relevant. It's like, oh, it's not just data I'm collecting that's sitting there and we have to manually push it into other platforms. It's now becoming a workable, usable platform that you don't necessarily need a third-party CRM to make sense of all of this. So everything's changing so rapidly between ad placements, between ad types, between, do we use Messenger ads? Do we not use Messenger ads? What the different platforms that we need to focus on, it's changing. And so if you, like I said, earlier on, if you just kind of put your blinders on and ignore everything for a year, by the time you try to get back into it, it's 10 times harder to figure it out. So keep yourself current. And that's why I keep nudging everybody on the chatbot side of things. Even if you're not using chatbots right now, even if you don't plan on weaving it into your mainstream marketing, get familiar and just have an understanding and awareness of how they work, how they operate, and the limitations too, so that you can make better business decisions this year, into next year, into the next 5 years.
Well, you've inspired me to go back and take a look at our chatbot for our page. I feel like I should go back in there and evaluate what we're doing and make sure that it's up to date, because we used to do it a lot. We haven't done it too much recently. But after listening to you, I feel like I should.
And the other part of this is that we're talking about tools like ManyChat and all the really cool, funky things you can do. Facebook has some pretty basic, really awesome built-in tools that you can use right on the platform. So even letting people know of your open hours. So when you're open, close, and sending a message to them outside of your open hours saying, hey, we're closed right now, but we'll get back to you in the morning. Or there's also the ability to send somebody a message if they've left a review for your page. You can automate a message to send, a thank you for sending me the review right after they've left a review. Those are all built into Facebook's Messenger platform right on Facebook in your page settings.
Right.
So there's some simple things in there that you can play with and do and use without having to get really complex and complicated.
Yeah, which is important now, because like with what we're happening in the world right now, like a lot of these businesses, hours are shifting every week, based on what they can and can't do from whatever city they're in or town or state. They all have different areas. Like maybe you were able to, like, when I know where I am, businesses just recently have to close at 9:30 now. Like, so maybe that's something you have to update your hours on to make sure that people are aware of that.
Exactly. And again, whether you think people aren't messaging you on Facebook or they aren't active on Facebook, if you open the opportunity and you start, if you as a business start treating the platform as a place that people can communicate with you, they will.
Yes, 100%. I totally agree with that. Amanda, this is amazing. It's always fun talking to you. in talking about ads and messenger bots and all that stuff. If people wanted to reach out to you and they have a question, maybe something we didn't cover on the podcast, or they want to, you know, take one of your courses or boot camps, where should they go?
Best place to find me is thedigitalgal.com or on Facebook, facebook.com/thedigitalgal. And if you are looking to learn more about bots, more about ads, I have my Swift Kick in the Ads membership, and I also teach my Facebook Ads 4-week boot camp training program.
That's the best name ever right there.
Thank you.
I love it. All right, we'll link all that up in the show notes as well. TheBruceIrving.com is where we keep the show notes for this. We'll link all of the things Amanda mentioned, her website, her boot camps, her Facebook page over there as well. Amanda, thank you so much for joining me once again on the podcast. It was awesome talking to you.
Bruce, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks to Amanda for joining me on the podcast. Always great to talk to her. Let me know what you thought of this. You can hit me up on Instagram. I am at TheBruceIrving. Also, again, 30-day Instagram challenge, TheBruceIrving.com/Instagram challenge to get signed up for our next one, which is happening in about 10 days. If you're listening to this in the future, just go to that website anyway. There may be one happening. This may be something that we do every single month. And also, if you want to join our mastermind group, 2 monthly calls with me, learn what's working in marketing, talk to other business owners from around the country and see what they're doing to grow their business using marketing and social media, TheBruceIrving.com/mastermind to get set up on that one. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast or you've got anything out of it, I would appreciate if you left a review wherever you're leaving this. I know Spotify doesn't allow reviews right now, but hopefully soon, but definitely iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google, if that's still a thing, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, leave me a review. Very much appreciated on my end, and we'll see you on the next one.